Stand right up. Don't leave. But my way, and His grace is all we need. You know, I've noticed something, and maybe you've noticed this. Come on up here, Brother Chapel. Have you ever gotten in the midst of the battle and every once in a while face an AI just after you had a big victory? Now listen, you expect it. We had a good prison revival, a good meeting down there. We had a good meeting Sunday night and some other good things in the church. And just expect now that just around the corner is a little trouble coming and everything. But this message will see us through. He's sufficient in all things. I like that, according. That's good. Just fill out the check on the bottom line. Amen? Now, by the way, if you do get a check from me and you fill it out, there's no guarantee that check will work or anything like that. It depends on how many zeros you put out there. But if you see Audie, now, put as many zeros as you want, and he'll cover it according to his riches. Amen. We're glad you're here tonight. Let's be seated. Brother Chapel, you come and speak to us tonight. Your mic on.
Okay, is it all? It is, it isn't? I had it on the first time. Let me say what a blessing it's been for us to be here this week. And, on the behalf of Wayside Prison Ministry, my hospitality here, as always, second to none. And just appreciate your hospitality and the food and the lodging and everything is always it's always a blessing and a privilege for us to get to come and be here in the springtime. The only church I go to that I take off from turkey hunting to go to in the spring. And if you're a turkey hunter, you understand. Shake your head back there, Doug. You're a turkey. I don't know if you're a turkey hunter or not. Thank God. Amen. Feathers on his legs, ain't he? Amen. Well, I'm leaving tonight anyway, all right? Appreciate the good hospitality. Good to be here, and I really appreciate all of our 18 prison revival we put on during the year. There's no church backs a meeting like this church does, and I don't say that to bring you to visions and revelations, but to just honor where honor's due. And we thank you so much for the help and the personal work and the good spirit. And from all of us, it's been a real privilege and a blessing to be here. And we appreciate everything that's done around here for us. Thank you for loving Brother Bill Pierce, our missionary, and helping him. And I've never heard Brother Pierce say one thing negative about his pastor or about his church. And that's a blessing. And I appreciate your kindness showed to him. And Brother Fisher and his family, as always, what a privilege it is to be here. And with all of you. Now, I want to just take a few minutes tonight. Brother Audie's already preached. All he left for me was the index. Or the maps or something. And I don't know anything about the index or the maps, Brother Cano. Audie is he's amazing the way he preaches and the mind that God's given him in the Scriptures. And I'm just going to say a few things tonight. And be very brief. They say that's the most common lie told among preachers, if they're going to be brief. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. I remind you, as you turn in there, the little hog, and y'all know what the hog is, don't you? That's the H-O-G hog. You know what that is? And a little hen was walking down the road one day, and the hen and the hog, they was conversing back and forth, and they said, you know, we ought to do something for this poor family over here. And the little hen said, I agree. He said, why don't we just give them a ham and egg breakfast and give that to them? And the hog looked at the little old hen, and he said, now, that's easy for you to say, but said, you're talking about a total commitment from me if we do that. And I get the same ideology around here when I hear your staff get up. They're looking for a total commitment, and really I see a lot of totally committed people, and I appreciate what a testimony that is to take back to our folks. And I invite you to come be with us Labor Day, Heart of Dixie Camp Meeting, We have an old-fashioned camp meeting there under an old tabernacle, sawdust on the floor. We have 400 or 500 there at night. We feed 3 meals a day, have day and night services. And some of God's choice men will be there with us. Your pastor will be there this year. Token, California, be our first and probably our last. Brother Jack Woods will be here with us. Brother Danny Farley, Brother James Langston, Brother Edgar Thomas. A lot of God's precious men, Jerry Mundy and the Rochester family and the Parker family. Danny Castle from Marion, North Carolina will be there. And we feed 3 meals a day, have lodging and hotel accommodations and a lot of things. And your pastor will be getting the particulars on that. If you'd like to come south and be a part of an old-time camp meeting, we'd certainly be glad to have you and to be with us there. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. I want to read a few verses here and just brag on the Lord for a few minutes, and then we'll turn our part of the service back to the pastor. Verse 35, he said, "The same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There was also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him?" If you notice in the last part of the last verse here in this chapter, the Bible said, "What manner of man is this?" And that's what I want to preach about tonight. The chapter ends here with a great question. He says, "What manner of man is this?" The Lord had just preached and reasoned with parables all the day long to this crowd. And if you notice in verse 35, he said, "The same day." That's a great text. In verse 36, he said, "They took him even as he was." That's a great text. He said the command here was to go to the other side. And that's a great text. Of course, as Brother Audie so eloquently preached to us, when the Lord saved us, he's given us enough grace to make it all the way to the other side. And if you're saved tonight and you didn't want to go to heaven, you shouldn't have got saved, because you're going now. Amen. And in verse number 38, we find a weary Christ. He's asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And in verse 37, there's a wakeless Christ. Seems they cannot wake him when the storm is brewing and the waves are dashing against the ship. And then in verse 39, there is a working Christ. He rises up to the bow of the ship and begins to do only what God can do. And then in verse 41, there is a wonderful Christ. And they say, "What manner of man is this?" And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Just what manner of man is this? That somebody said, what brings us together tonight? The common ground that me and you have is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What makes me love people from San Diego, California? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes us kinfolk and makes us want to go to heaven together? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And they ask him here, they said, "What manner of man is this?" I want to say this, he is the incomparable one. Who in the world are we going to compare the Lord Jesus Christ to? You see, tonight if we was going to talk about music, we'd look at Beethoven and Bach and we'd compare those men. If we was going to compare military, we'd talk about Alexander or Napoleon. If we was going to talk about literature, we'd talk about Shakespeare and Longfellow. If we was talking about philosophy, we'd talk about Aristotle and Socrates. If we was talking about pulpit orators, We'll talk about Charles Haddon Spurgeon or the great R.G. Lee. If we was talking about missions tonight, we'd compare Hudson Taylor or Adoniram Judson. If we was talking about evangelism tonight, we'd talk about Dwight L. Moody or Billy Sunday or Mordecai Helm or Christmas Evans. If we was talking about hymn writing tonight, we'd talk about Fanny Crosby or the great Charles Wesley. But I'll ask you something, cowboy. Who in the world are we going to compare him to tonight? I thank God he is the music that the bird sings in the limbs. He is the inspiration for every soldier that's ever marched across the water. He is the enlightenment for every writer that's ever pinned down literature. He is the mind of every philosopher, no matter how deep or shallow or wrong or right that he's pinned down the words. He is the silver tongue of every eloquent speaker that's ever stood behind of a sacred book board. He is the heart of every missionary that's ever journeyed across the water. I want to tell you something tonight. They just ain't nobody to compare with. You can stand up anybody you want to, but there just ain't nobody going to match up with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I'll say something tonight. You can be a Muslim and never have met Muhammad. You can be a Buddhist tonight and never met old Buddha sitting straight up. You can be a Mormon tonight and have never known Joseph Smith. You can be a JW tonight and have never met Taz Russell. You can be a Christian Scientist tonight and never known Mary Eddie Baker. You can be a Catholic tonight and never been to the Vatican and met the Pope. But you'll never be a child of God, neighbor, unless you bear the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the incomparable one. There's nobody to compare with. He's incomparable. I want to say that our sorrows are hid in his wounds. Our sickness is healed by his stripes. Our sins hang upon his cross. Our shouts hover over an empty tomb tonight. Our soul is held in his hand. Our study is heightened by his word. Our service hinges upon the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody that we can complain to tonight. Matthew 12, they all got together and said, hey, what about the temple that Solomon constructed? It was so many days in building. And floated the cedars of Lebanon down the river, and the silversmiths and coppersmiths, and all the men of trades got together and built it. And the Bible said they said greater than the temple here. They said, well, what about Jonah? And went to Nineveh, and the whole city had revival. He said, a greater than Jonah's here. He said, well, what about Solomon? That could speak 3,000 proverbs. And the queen of Sheba got off her chair and walked in and saw it all and got back in her chair and said, the half ain't never been told. I'll tell you, he said, a greater than Solomon's here. Hey, nobody we can compare to. He's the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. I'm glad he's my Lord and my Savior. He's incomparable tonight. Let me say tonight, he's not only incomparable, but he's the incarnate one. You see, incarnate means to assume flesh. But he's a God-man. He's 100% God and 100% man. The Word became flesh and we beheld the glory. He condescended down from the celestial city of God into a little virgin's womb there and was born and took on him a robe of flesh and thought it not robbery. I will tell you, he is the incarnate one. He's 100% God, 100% man. He's able to be Job's day's man and lay his hand on God and lay his hand on man and reconcile us and bring us together. He is the incarnate one. Can you imagine there, our Savior in Luke chapter 2? when he got over there to that bunch of doctors and lawyers, he said, "Son, how old are you?" He said, "Well, on my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. But on my father's side, I am the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning of the end. I'm the Ancient of Days. On my father's side, I am no beginning. I am no ending. I'm the A to the Z. He is the incarnate one." They said, "Now listen, son. But where do you live at?" He said, "Well, on my mother's side, we live down in Nazareth, a little city down here. But on my father's side, I go a stepping through the clouds. I hung the stars and the planets." They said, "Now, son, listen. We can't get a hold of all this." They said, "But what's your name, son?" He said, "Well, on my mother's side, they call me Jesus of Nazareth. But on my father's side, I'm that ram that was called in the thicket in Abraham's day. I'm Joseph that had the keys to the corn crib. He said, I'm the Passover lamb in Exodus. I'm the rock and the eagle spoke of in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm the days man that old Ruth talked about in Bethlehem. I'm that scarlet thread that Rahab let down from the walls of Jericho. I'm the fountain in the book of Zechariah. I'm the great lamb that Moses saw in the burning bush. Oh, my father said, you ain't got time to hear my name." He's the God-man. Somebody said, "How much man was he? How much God was he?" He is so much man that one day he sat down beside a well and asked a harlot for a drink of water. But he is so much God that he gave her the well and let her throw the bucket down and go home. Amen. Oh! He is so much man one day that he sat down by the tomb of Lazarus and wept with Mary and Martha. But he is so much God that he cried, "Lazarus, come forth." And he got up out of Cimitani. He is so much man one day that he went to sleep in the bottom of the ship. But he is so much God. He got up and said, "Peace be still." And the winds and the waves laid down. And the little old fish got over on the sideline and said, "We're sorry, Lord. We didn't know that was you on that ship." He is so much man that he walked up in the mountains one day and prayed to his father. But he is so much God that he could put him a blanket upon the sea and walk out across the billows. I want to say to you, he's the incarnate one. He's the God man, neighbor. He's the incomparable one. There ain't nobody comparing with. He's the incarnate one. Let me say, he is the immeasurable one. Who in the world are you going to measure him to tonight? I would say his measurements are boundless. You can go as far as you want to the east, and then turn around and go far as you want to the west. And he's already there, neighbor. You can go as far as you want through the south, and as far as you want through the north, and he's already there. You can make your bed in hell, and he's already there. You can ascend up to the most high, and that's his dwelling place, neighbor. He is the immeasurable one. You realize you cannot measure his ability? It'll take you long to measure my ability. Not long to measure your ability. But you ever tried to measure his ability? Just cannot do it. I thought about his ability to save sinners. You can't measure that. here's a little old sister that said, God, I just don't want to see my brother go to hell. I know he's mean, he's a devil. I know he's wicked as a snake. But God, I want you to save him. Everybody in San Diego didn't know nothing about that, but her and God knew about it. And God said, I heard you pray, sister. And over there on Monday night, God reached down and touched that old boy's heart. Oh, thank God forever. I'm telling you, you cannot measure his ability to save that sinner. I want to tell you, God can save people if we'll pray and ask him to. You cannot measure his ability to save sinners. You cannot measure his ability to sustain the saints. Hey, isn't it amazing how he sustains us? Isn't that sad? Isn't it somehow he sustains us? I mean, honest to goodness. Little old gal down there in my country, her man died and she got without any meat in the house. And she just went to pray and asking God. She'd gone through a winter, didn't have nothing to eat, no meat. Just eating some stuff she'd canned and put away. The old boy come to the pastor one day and said, Pastor, I'm so dry and barren, I don't know what to do. I ain't felt no tears moisten my face. I ain't felt the touch of God, and I don't know when. He said, sir, said, don't you raise hogs over your place? He said, yeah, matter of fact, I do. He said, you really want a good blessing? He said, yes, sir, I want one. He said, I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you go over and get some of that hog meat and take it over to that old sister that her husband died and they had no meat? He said, I believe God will bless you if you'll do that. That old boy said, now, I don't know much about it, but if that'll get me a blessing, said, I'm willing to do it. He went home, parked the old pickup truck out in front, walked back out of the smokehouse. He walked right past, looked up at the old Sal Berry hanging there, and he said, well, rich boy, and the Holy Ghost said, I believe I'd just give her the best. He passed that Sal Berry, looked up and saw him shoulders, reached to get his shoulder, and the Holy Ghost said, I believe I'd just give her the best. He passed him shoulder and went over and saw him with no hams hanging down. Reached up and got one of the hams, put it over on his shoulder and started back for the pickup truck. By the time he laid it over on the tailgate, he felt them tears going to dripping down his face. He felt that presence of God again. That old boy laid that ham down and started back to smokehouse. Oh, yeah. He looked up high and got that second ham off that rack. He said, hey. He said, God, I might have got the smallest stuff. Maybe I'll just give her both of them. Amen. And laid that second one over there on that buckboard and closed the tailgate of the truck. And the devil said, you made a fool out of yourself of giving your meat away. He said, devil, you better shut up. I'll tie all the meat out of here, tie the smokehouse down, and take it all over there. Sustaining the saints. You cannot measure his ability. You cannot measure his authority, neighbor. He has authority over the deep. I mean, who do you know that can walk out on the Pacific Ocean and say, peace, be still, and the winds and waves lay down and be still? He has authority over the deep. He has authority over the devil. I mean, every time he met a devil, every time he met one of Satan's army, he rebuked it, and that devil had to flee and leave. He had authority over the deep and authority over the devil, and he had authority over death. Can you imagine that day at Calvary when our Savior checked in the death hotel? He looked up at the register. Death said, Jesus, we've been waiting on you. You raised the widow Nain's children, but we got them back. You raised Lazarus, but we got them back. And he said, now we've got you. And the death hotel clerk, he said, sign right here. Jesus pulled out his pen and signed two words, swung the register back around. Death hotel clerk said, I am. What does I am mean? He says, it means I am the resurrection and the truth of the life, and out of here. And he found me in the death hotel. Death came by. Never lost a victim. Never sweated a bit. But he came by a death hotel. And the devil said, "Mr. Death, how is everything today?" He said, "It's the first day since Jesus has been here, and everything's quiet." He said, "Amen." He said, "Going about your business, destroying lives, ruining people." He said, "I've got him locked up, everything's fine." The devil come by on day number two. He said, "Mr. Death, how is it? Everything all right?" He said, "It's quiet as a church mouse. Ain't nothing going on around here. Go right on about your business." But on that third and glorious morning, the devil came by this hotel. And now standing there wringing his hands up and sweat pouring off his face. He said, "What's the matter with you, Death? I ain't never seen you look like that." He said, "Early this morning, they was a rattling in the tombs. And the Lord got up out of here and left. And he took my keys with him. And he said..." You just cannot measure his authority. He eased over there before he left. He had some unfinished business to take care of. He had old Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all them old patriarchs that died in faith, they are there in paradise. I can see them all sitting around there. One day the door swung open, they jumped up and said, "What's going on here? Who are you?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'm just an old thief." He said, "Matter of fact, I just died." He said, "What's going on up there?" He said, "Well, Rome's killing people, crucifying people. Said, this usual day in Rome." And I can hear him, and he said, "Well," he said, "poor Abraham said, hey, anybody up there look like my friend?" "Yeah. Oh, Jones," he said, "anybody up there look like what I dreamed about?" "Yeah." "Oh, Rahab," said, "does anybody up there look like that scarlet thread?" "Oh, Zechariah," said, "anybody up there look like a fountain?" "Oh, Isaiah," said, "does anybody up there look like wonderful counselor, mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulder?" "Does anybody up there look like that?" "Oh, Malachi," said, "anybody up there look like the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings?" "Oh, John the Baptist," said, "bless God, look at your boys. Does anybody up there look like the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world?" That old boy said, "Hold on now, wait a minute." He said, "I ain't been saved but about 5 minutes." "I don't know nothing about all that." He said, "All I know, the last thing you said was, I'll meet you in paradise today." And about that time, the door swung open, and the Lamb of God walked in, and led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men, and took paradise from the heart of the earth, and moved it to the third heaven. I'm telling you, if I wasn't so dignified, I'd shout. You cannot measure. He's immeasurable. Let me close and say this. I'm tired. I'm giving out. Don't preach you today. No. He's the inviting one tonight. He is the inviting one. John 21, neighbor, if Mr. Jordan and Brother Jordan comes and gets ready to place offering sing. John 21, he said, coming down. Have you ever noticed that in John 21, if there was any time he ought to call them rebels, renegades, That'd have been a time for it. I mean, they're backslid. Peter's naked. He's out on the boat. They're away from God. They don't even believe in the resurrection. Hadn't caught a thing all night, and the Lord Jesus Christ steps up on the bank, and he says what? Children, have you any meat? He said, children, have you any meat? Oh, John, the beloved, the one that lay on his breast the Last Supper, he said, it's the Lord. Oh, Peter, he was naked out on the boat, jumped in the water, and headed toward the shore. And the Lord said, come and dine. Come and dine. Amen. He invited them to come and dine. In Matthew 11, he invites them to come and rest. He said, come and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest. Come to you, so hey. You remember the night he invited you to come and rest? You remember the night he invited you to come and rest? Revelation 21, he invites you to come and take the water of life freely. If you're here tonight and you ain't got a dime, it won't cost you one. If you're here tonight and his brother already preached you're a billionaire, it won't take none of your money. Come and take the water of life freely. Come ye to the waters without price. And Isaiah 1:18 invites you to come and reason. Have you ever reasoned with anybody that's just unreasonable? Have you ever talked to anybody you just couldn't get nowhere with? Well, the Lord said, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. I'm telling you, he is the most reasonable person you've ever dealt with. And his arms is outstretched tonight. What manner of man is this? He's the inviting one, inviting you, men, women, boys, and girls, to come to him to take of the water of life freely. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Whatever your need is tonight, be invited to come. Mother, if there's problems at home, he invites you to come. Dad, if there's problems at home, he invites you to come. Preachers.